I'm a food addict. My name is Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, everybody. I'm grateful to be here. Boy, am I grateful to be here. I celebrated 8 years Monday of recovery in this wonderful fellowship with over, I think it was like, it's about 116 pounds that's been off my body for that time. And that's a wonderful thing. But the most wonderful thing is the peace I have inside. You know, the peace I have between my ears. Like, there's nothing rattling around between my ears. And people have made fun of me for many years saying I had nothing going on up there, and there really isn't anything going on up there. And that comes from 4.0, 4.0, 8.0, 12.0. Two tablespoons of dressing and a piece of friggin' fruit gives me a life that's unbelievable. And I was born in Poland, and the thing I remember about Poland is my mom's cooking. There weren't too many sweets there, but I remember some sweet stuff that I had there. I was thin. When I came to this country, I was a thin boy, and one of the most marvelous things I thought I discovered in this country was the toaster. It was, like, incredible. The toaster and the TV. It was an unbelievable. There were three boys in my family, and my mom and dad, and there were no boundaries around food. We could eat whatever we wanted, whenever we wanted to. You know, the type of thing that was going on in my home is if you didn't ask for seconds, you'd be asked, are you okay? Are you feeling okay, you know? I never looked at myself as big. I mean, I put on weight. I remember trying to put on my first pair of bell bottoms, and they were way too small for my body, but I remember trying to put them on, and geez, it was really, I couldn't get them on. I could get them like three quarters of the way up. But my head never said to me that I was too big. My head said that the bell-bottom pants were too small, you know. And I played like street hockey, ice hockey, baseball, and I was a big boy. And I never looked at myself as fat, you know. I don't know, like in my home when I was growing up as a teenager, like I hated the holidays because either we were making up for the last set of holidays or we're breaking up this set of holidays. And it was always around food and alcohol, you know. I started drinking at an early age, and I remember sitting there one time when alcohol was working. I looked at my brothers and I said, I want to kill them one of these days. Like physically, I could beat them up, in other words. And I remember eating, and my mom was a sick woman. Sometimes she'd pass out, and I remember, like, I wanted to get big so I could lift her off the floor and put her on the couch, you know, and that happened. I remember I associated being fat, but to me it was being big with strength. I hung around with kids my age down, like, local parks, having drinking Boone's Farm apple wine and eating food, and I remember, like, I grabbed the biggest guy in the lot and, like, flip him over my back. And, you know, I got this reputation as a tough kid. And I guess I became, like, a legend in my own mind around that time because I was very strong for my size. I loved high school. I remember going to high school. And, a lot of kids didn't like high school. I used to smoke a joint, go to school, and like the cooking crew at the school, most of them were Polish women, and they loved me because I spoke to them, and they fed me. So I hooked up with another compulsive overeater, this friend of mine. He's in the fellowship now. We had this thing worked out where he'd go to school 1 week and make two of everything, and I would skip, and then I'd go to school the next week, make two of everything, and he'd skip, and he worked in a sub shop, and it was great. You know, we go over to the sub shop, we drink and eat, and it was just, I was in heaven. So I was out since when I was in heaven. Senior skip day, though, I remember we were drinking and I hit a cop car. And I had decided it was time to get out of Lynn, and I wanted to join the Air Force. And It was a diet. I started running. I wanted to get some shape. My mom was like one of these hot, hot Junes. And I remember running in a field and my fat jiggling, and I was smoking cigarettes. I couldn't breathe. And it was awful. It was awful. But I wasn't, in my head, I wasn't trying to lose weight. I was just trying to get in shape. I was trying to get in better shape. And, you know, I joined the Air Force to get out of Lynn, and I went to Texas for basic training, and there was no drinking. And I remember them saying to me, you can take all you want, but you better eat it all. And, you know, I love basic training. Some people hated basic training, and it was the first time I realized it was discipline. I was afraid to eat what I wanted to eat, and I just ate, just went into a line like everybody else ate. And I was running there, the physical part of it, so I lost all kinds of weight. I got a V-shape, and I was very strong, and I got some inside. I started to feel better about myself, and I wanted to go to England, Poland, or, the West Coast, you know. And they sent me back to Massachusetts, right back to where I came from. Got an apartment, put a picture of the fawns up on the wall, got a regulation size pool table in my living room, and I got married, and I was in heaven. And my second shot at dieting, my weight was going up, and I was running 7-8 miles a day, pretty much, through blizzards, through rainstorms, through hot days, and I didn't even know it was just to try to keep the weight down, but I thought I was just wanted to be in shape, you know. And so I'm running, and I'm drinking, and I'm eating, massive quantities. I was proud of how much I could eat. I was proud of how much I could drink, you know. But, you know, the stuff that goes along with that, some people thought I was a colonel. Some people thought I was a general. Some people thought I was a sergeant. After a while, I didn't know what I told to whom. So after 4 years in the Air Force, I got out of there. I want another fresh start. I got out of high school, and I got a job in a corporation in third shift. 11 at night till 7 in the morning, and I found somebody gave me some speed. They said, there's two things that will happen with this. You stay awake, and you lose weight. So I tried it, and it was really crazy. My life was starting to get crazy. I go talk to the boss and say the same thing to him over and over. After the fifth time, I would say to my head, don't say this to him. You already said it. And I'd say it again. It was just, you know, it was the drugs. And I remember running, too. I'm trying to run, and it was 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'm trying to drink, and I'm trying to eat. And in the meantime, my wife had started dieting, and we were just trying to, we went on this diet, this 7-grain bread diet from Sweden. I mean, it was ridiculous, the stuff you eat it, and it gets big in your stomach, so you don't eat. It was just crazy. And then there's a Bisquick diet. You put a bunch of Bisquick in, put some water in it, and you drink it, and it's supposed to, you know, blow up your belly again, not to eat. And a few other oddities there, too. I left the third shift in the GE, went to the second shift. By this time, my dad had passed away, and I was kind of, taken aback. I didn't know what was going on. I had two other brothers who were really whacked as far as booze was, and I was whacked. I'm eating late at night, drinking late at night, and I'm like, what the heck, you know, what's going on? I've got a couple daughters, and my wife's there, and I don't know what's going on. And I got off the second shift in the G because there were too many drunks, I think. I got off the third because there were too many drug addicts. Went to the first shift. I ran out of shifts to go to, and what am I going to do now? You know, I'll just drink light beer because I had to lose a few pounds anyway, you know, or wine. And through the grace of God, I got sober. I went to AA, and I got sober, and it was like, wow, this whole new world opened up to me. But the way I got sober, I had the big book in one hand and sugar and flour products in the other hand, you know, and that worked for a while, but I got involved in politics, and my weight was just going up, and I knew I had to go. I was running for this executive job, and I had to ask 5,000 people to vote for me, and I knew I couldn't do it. And I ended up in OA. Somehow, through the grace of God, I came to OA. I got a sponsor. I lost, 70 pounds, and I won the position. Sounded like a power, prestige, property. I've got another daughter born. My mom died from a drug overdose around that time. And anyway, I'm sitting here pretty. I'm going to meetings, and I became like a legend in my own mind again. I put on a tight pair of dungarees, thinking I looked awesome. And some nice suits, you know, and I'm mingling with politicians. I'm doing all kinds of stuff. One day I'm with, you know, politicians. The next day I'm with some rough crowd who rides motorcycles. And, you know, I didn't know what was going on. I really didn't. But I was doomed to eat again, but I didn't know it. My wife and I, I'm skiing up North Conway, and we were eating these things called Fookies. They were legal in the community I was in, and after the first box, I said to my wife, you know, we probably shouldn't have these, and after the second box, she agreed, and by then we were screwed. And then came 7.5 years of those vicious eating a person can go through. There's nothing worse, like, than knowing I don't have to eat, and I had to eat. I remember asking God, you know, please, God, keep me abstinent today. And then an hour later, I'd be eating a Dunkin' Donuts cow patty and thinking to my God, you know, what's wrong with me? And I'm going to meetings. I went back to my church, and I'm praying. I'm helping people left and right. Then I'm, like, going up to 306 pounds. And I would go to meetings here, and I remember reading people who are constitutionally capable of being honest with themselves and, you know, incomprehensible demoralization. And, you know, my wife and I arguing, like, she says, you know, she told me, she said, go to OA and get us abstinent. And I'm telling her, no, I want an OA and get us sober. You go to OA and get us abstinent. Like, we were, like, insane. It was really crazy. But I just kept coming here and there to meetings, you know. And one time I came home, and my wife wasn't there. My daughter, when she went to a meeting, my wife came home and said she had a sponsor. And the next night, I just went to this place in Chelsea, and I grabbed the first guy that was in the room. And I said, will you be my sponsor? And the guy said, take it easy, buddy. And he brought me over to somebody who could. And I don't know what happened there, whether surrender. It's the grace of God for me. I remember just thinking, I'll just do what the schmuck does and see what happens. What do I got to lose? 100 pounds, you know what I mean? And through the grace of God, he said, here's what I do. He's never said to me, here's what you got to do. He just said, here's what I do. And he gave me a food plan that he did that worked for him. And I just started doing it, you know. And through the grace of God, all this weight came off. And my wife started eating again. And I felt like I was naked. And I made a beautiful decision. I just decided to hide in OA. Just hide in meetings. I put, like, the meetings like a tortoise shell all over me. And, you know, through the grace of God, I looked around OA. I saw people that were thin, and it looked like they were half sane, or at least they were a lot saner than I was. And I just started following people around, different meetings. And I made a decision to love some of these people and then love what they were doing. I loved what they were saying. And what they were saying is that they were absent, they had a peace of mind, and I wanted that. And, you know, I just kept going, and I got back to skiing. I started this thing, climbing Mount Washington, having a meeting yearly on top of Mount Washington with the other OAers, and the joy that I've gotten from that, jogging with my youngest daughter, climbing Mount Washington with my youngest daughter, walking my oldest daughter down the aisle abstinent, one of the greatest gifts. I remember when she got pregnant and she had a miscarriage, and I was there for her. You know, she had a couple more grandsons, and I was like, my grandson got wicked sick. He started bleeding out. He had an operation, and just to take that boy to the flipping hospital, to physically be able to do that, and tell the doctor with clarity, hey, here's what's wrong with him, and be able to help out, you know, and yet, in the middle of all that, go down to the cafeteria and eat my supper, and feel awful about eating my supper because everybody was up in the room. But after I ate my supper, I went back up there and was there clear with them. And I found out for me, like, weighing and measuring my food is self-love, coming to meetings and self-love. I knew how to self-hate. I knew how to self-medicate, but I didn't know how to self-love. Listening to people that have been around for a few years and who are reasonably sane and just trying to grasp what they have to offer. Because I always thought I had answers. You know, when I thought I was okay, I was really screwed. Now that I'm screwed, I'm okay. Like, all I had to do was just the opposite of what my head tells me. My head says, don't listen to that person. I listen intently. My head says, don't talk to that person over there. I go talk to him. If my head says, don't go to that meeting, I go to that meeting. Like, as long as I do the opposite of what my head tells me when it comes to our fellowship, I know I'm going to be all right. As long as I do yesterday, today, what I did yesterday, things are just A-okay. I love my life. I love waking up in the morning and just looking forward to the day. I remember, like, right before I came back, to the grace of God, I was thinking, like, what's the sense of living? I get up in the morning and say, oh, not another day. Another day, you know. It was like survival. It was a struggle. It was painful, you know. And I haven't felt that in a long, long time. I got people that care about me because I'm powerless over food. I got people that can share stuff. I've done colored AWOLs, you know, been in AWOLs. And I just bring whatever I need to bring to our meetings. And I brought my brother's death here. I brought my daughter's weddings. I brought all kinds of stuff to our meeting. Like, I know I couldn't sit down at the Polish club I used to go to and sit next to somebody and say, you know, I'm lonely and I'm scared. Can you give me a hug? You know what I mean? Like, it just didn't happen. Or, like, you know, at the bakery that I used to visit and say, you know, my life is really unmanageable. I want to yell at my wife. Can you help me out? Like, I've gotten here, like, you know, keep your words sweet because you may have to eat them. I don't know how many times I'd be laying next to my wife wanting to point out something, and that voice would come in and say, keep your words sweet because you may have to eat them. And learn to love her and learn to love my children. And it all comes from putting some friggin' chicken on the scale. Like, my numbers really are 4.0, 4.0, 8.0, 12.0, 2 tablespoons of dressing and a piece of friggin' fruit. Those are my numbers. I don't even have to get on a big scale. As long as I take care of that little scale, I'm going to be okay. But I have to stay sane because my head says don't go to the little scale. And the only way I can go to the little scale is come here and be with us. Like, I always, always need to be reminded that I'm powerless over food and that my life is unmanageable by me. You know, and every time I point the finger, 3 point back. I will never, ever be able to repay OA what OA has done for me, ever. And the only thing I can do is just go to a meeting, sometimes raise my hand, or sometimes just be there. Because I know, like, my first few meetings, if I came here and there was maybe one person there, I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have made it. You know, I went to meetings with a lot of people doing a lot of service. One of the things I remember watching people, like, when a break would come and several people would get up at the same time, would run to their cars to bring toilet paper to the meeting, for the meeting to use. Other people would get up and put cars. Like, I just watched the people that were sane and abstinent and living their life. Like, they were doing service, you know, and that's what I do. I just come here and make myself available. I made myself available to food. I went to Connecticut to get certain ethnic foods. I went to great lengths on Sunday evenings to get certain foods, you know. So I go to some lengths, like, to go, like, to Reading on a Wednesday night from Peabody. Like, it's nothing compared to what I used to do to get food, you know. But I know I'm insane. Like, I have nothing made. 8 years is nothing. Like, I know for me, hours turn to days, days turn to weeks, weeks turn to months, and months turn into a year, and a year has turned into one day at a time, you know. Thanks.